death for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and blood from thy womb inside which flow be as thin the double shore. Stay from wrath and make me new. Labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no rest allow? Could my tears forever flow? Each sin could not atone. Thou must save.
Thank you, James. You guys may be seated. There is no better place to be found than hiding in Christ. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, truly, I plead with you, I pray that you will. Now, we're not going to get very far today with Communion Sundays, but let's see how far we get from where we left off last week. We are in our discipleship study, and we are in the area to be ready to give a reason for your hope. We get this from 1 Peter 3:15. Hopefully by the end of this series, you guys should know this verse very well. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. We should be able to talk to people about what we believe and why we believe it, and be able to help them find the truth. We've been talking about all these different subjects. And we've been starting last week, dinosaurs. What we looked at last week was the pre-flood evidence. According to the Bible, we have creation. On day six of creation, all animals were made, including the dinosaurs, along with humanity. And so their evidence should be that humanity and dinosaurs existed together. The Bible is true. That's what we should find. And what we did discover is, if we look at the geological time scale, some things that just don't make sense. Because according to the geological time scale, which contradicts the Bible, it says that humanity evolved around 75,000 years ago. 65 to 70 million years ago is when the dinosaurs existed. And even further back, 300 million years ago was when the coal was created. But what we discovered is that the geological time scale says there should be no connection between any of the coal or the dinosaurs with humanity, but that's not what we found. We found human artifacts in coal seams, and we found humans in layers along with dinosaurs, not just human bones, but also footprints. Dinosaur and human footprints together. Because there is not millions of years, there was a worldwide flood that buried everything. And that's why we find human artifacts in the coal and dinosaur and human footprints together. They try to dismiss some of this evidence by saying that there was a dinosaur with human feet. That has never been found, and I'll guarantee you will never be found. We have their feet fossilized, so we know what their feet look like. There was not a dinosaur with human feet. And that's where we left off last week. Now, there is evidence, pre-flood evidence, and evidence we have because of the flood and only because of the flood. Without the flood, you don't have fossils. And we do have not just millions of fossils. Some of the experts are saying trillions of fossils. And we have lots of fossils of animals and dinosaurs. And we have fossils of humans. A lot of the fossils, we do have some evidence of humans being covered up or missing because it doesn't fit the narrative that they have. And because they want to protect that narrative that they teach to all the kids in public schools and universities and colleges. And, you know, the last week watching the news, how well does the college system seem to be doing for our young people? Now, there's good colleges out there, and there's good professors, and there's good students, thank the Lord, still. But there's a lot that is bad, and there's a lot going on in many colleges that is not good out there. And in the public school system, there's still good teachers, and there's still good students, but there's still a lot bad happening in those systems as well. We're starting to see some of the fruit of that on college campuses today. But they're so protective that students will not find out the truth, that they're willing to defend their view of millions of years, the geological time scale, humans and dinosaurs did not exist. They will do whatever they have to do to keep that narrative in place. They will not share with students all the evidence that we have found out in the ground. They will not teach them about footprints of humans and dinosaurs being together. And if anyone dares, even if a professor dares to challenge the narrative, they will get rid of that professor. Scientists terminated for proving dinosaurs and humans walked the earth together. This was a case back in 2014. So a professor there says, wait a minute, I have found evidence that dinosaurs did not live millions of years ago, but much more recent. And he proved that humans and dinosaurs were together. So what did the scientists and the college and the university, they do? Do they go, well, let's look at the research. Let's test it like the scientific method. No, they fired him and tried to keep quiet his findings. But unfortunately for them, 3 years later, 2017, that was in 2014, then by 2017, here's the title of the next article. University settles lawsuit with scientists fired after he found soft tissue in dinosaur bones. They had to give him a six-figure payout. Because they proved that the university tried to keep him quiet and get rid of his evidence because his evidence challenged the narrative of millions of years and evolution. Here's the the scientist right there, found soft tissue, which tissue cannot last millions of years. He found soft dinosaur tissue. Published his findings, he was fired. A six-figure sum to settle his wrongful termination suit because it was based on his religious discrimination. Because he said, yeah, it seems to fit what the Bible says. So they fired him. Don't bring the truth into our system. The article goes on. Soft tissue in dinosaur bones destroys deep time. Long periods of time. Millions of years. Tissue does not last that long. It decays. It goes from back to dust. Deep time is the linchpin of evolution. And we're going to be getting into evolution right after this dinosaur study. But you have to have millions of years for evolution to be true or to be able to take place. If you don't have millions of years, evolution cannot happen. And they don't want that to get out. Because if you don't have evolution, what are you left with? How did we get here? God, that's it, unless you want to believe in aliens. But even then, people say, well, aliens could have seeded into life. Okay, well, where did the aliens come from? Well, some aliens seeded them. Well, where did that alien come? Do you see that's kicking the can down the road? Life comes from nothing, right? No, of course not. Life comes from a source. And they try to say it's a naturalistic source and chemicals and chance and time and you can produce life. But if you don't have time, if you don't have millions of years, that doesn't work. So there's only one other option, a designer, a creator, a God. They don't want that. The whole discussion of evolution ends if you show that the earth is young. And that's what this soft tissue shows, that these dinosaurs did not live 65 million years ago. They lived a lot closer. And it's not just one time they have found soft tissue. Here, they have found in 78 million year old supposedly duck-billed dinosaur, they still found blood vessels. 65 million year old triceratops. They also found blood vessels. And the material was springy, hadn't hardened yet. Watch this video.
This is actually Triceratops tissue.
That blows your mind, huh?
Absolutely.
Now, this is shaking it up, I guess.
That becomes part of the controversy because you're now faced with how could you explain the survival of this, the pristine survival of this, not only for so long, but in very unpristine conditions. And so then the controversy has been, how do you explain it? Now, some people would claim, well, it means nothing because we know how old they are, and therefore it just means it survived somehow, big deal. But how do you know how old they are? Well, you use methods, supposed methods of dating. Well, this is a method of dating. The tissue itself can't be discounted as part of a method of dating. So why do you say that doesn't count, but this does count? Well, it's all the paradigm drives your conclusions. The paradigm is it has to be old. Therefore, methods that give us an old fossil are what we choose. Something that doesn't give us an old fossil, like tissue, we have to reject or explain away.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you expect, we live in California, it used to be part of the old West, right? Would you expect to find soft tissue from a cowboy that lived back in the 1800s? Nobody? What would you expect to find? Bones, maybe dust, right? So how can we find soft tissue, stretchable tissue, from animals that lived millions of years ago? It's not possible. Even in the slightest. I listened to one professor And he's like this man saying their paradigm, their worldview is set. So they have these glasses, and everything they look at through the lens of their worldview. Things have to be millions of years old. They have blinders on to anything else that contradicts that. And so this lady was saying, well, how does she explain this soft dinosaur tissue, these blood vessels from animals that lived a long time ago? She said, well, there must be. This was a professor with a PhD, said there must be some sort of scientific method that we do not know yet exists. Some way that these things survive for millions of years. We just haven't discovered it yet. What? Yes. Scientists are supposed to be swayed by the evidence and then the testing of the evidence or the theory and the results, not by the paradigm, the worldview. They just will not accept it. Red blood cells found in a T-Rex. And it's more and more they're finding it. Because as our scientific abilities grow, we're discovering more and more things that we didn't know about these fossils and about these remains. So, this first part, the pre-flood evidence, okay? Evidence does show man and dinosaurs existed together. We have human artifacts in rock layers and in coal layers predating humans, according to the geological timescale. But we know that these things do not predate humans because they're human-made. And humans haven't been around for millions of years. They've been around 6,000. And according to the Bible, about 4,400 years ago, ballpark, there was a major world flood that buried everything, creating the coal and the oil and the buried artifacts that we have. We have footprints of humans and dinosaurs in the same rock layers. And we have soft tissue surviving blood cells, which we know scientifically those things cannot last millions of years. Can they last in the right conditions for thousands of years? That can happen. And that's what we're seeing. But not millions and millions and millions of years. No way. All right, so we do have pre-flood evidence, okay, of dinosaurs and humans being together. Now, let's look at the post-flood evidence, after the flood. How we know dinosaurs were on the ark. Now, how many of you guys have ever thought about dinosaurs being on Noah's ark? Not many, because if you type in Noah's ark, barely ever do you see pictures of dinosaurs on the ark. You got the big giraffes, monkeys, elephants, look like they're having a party. You never see a T-Rex or a Triceratops. So why do we know dinosaurs were on the ark with Noah? And then you go, wait a minute, dinosaurs were huge. How would you get a Brontosaurus or a Brachiosaurus on the ark? Well, again, did Noah take full-size animals? No, he took babies. How big are some of the dinosaur eggs we found, the biggest? Anybody know? Yeah, about the size of football, but without other sport that tries to be like football. Rugby, yeah, for the sissies. Football is for men, and rugby is for the sissies. Right, Jim? So, yeah, about this size, okay? So, when they're hatched, they're just like other animals. They're small. Noah took small animals. They take up less space. They eat less food. And if they fall over, they usually can get back up. Right? So the same with dinosaurs. And remember, we don't take every species. We take kinds of animals. Like, you didn't have to take every horse species. Noah only had to take two horses, basically, male, female. One horse for the whole entire kind The same with dinosaurs. And actually, when you look this up, there's only seven major groups. Next slide, Levi. Seven major groups of dinosaurs. Okay? So you have the different kinds of dinosaurs, just like we have different kinds of animals. You have the canine kind, the feline kind, the, what's a horse kind? What do they call? Yeah, that sounds good. So here you've got the ceratopsian kind. Ceratopsian, I guess I'm saying that correctly. Sounds good. So you don't have to take all the triceratops and all the other different kinds of these. You just would take one. Same with the ceratopods. The big ones like the brachiosauruses and stuff. You didn't have to take all those kinds, just one of them. So they've calculated how many dinosaurs that Noah would have on the ark. And you have a maximum to a minimum range of 36 different kinds to 85 possible different kinds. And if you had 36 to 85, that means you only had to take 72 or up to 170 individuals, dinosaurs, on the ark. And we know that the study of the ark, there was plenty of room on there. So looking at this post-flood evidence, how we know dinosaurs were on the ark with Noah. And it's very important. Because it's going to further prove that dinosaurs and man were made in the on day six of God's creation together. If the dinosaurs died out millions of years before man appeared, then humans would not have known about dinosaurs until the 1800s when we finally figured out these big bones. Came where they came from. The first dinosaur bones were uncovered in the mid to late 1600s, and the people who uncovered them didn't know what they were. And by the 1800s, then there was this, oh, let's put these bones together. Wow, there's these big reptilian-looking dinosaur. Well, they didn't have the word dinosaur. It was created in the 1800s. They actually called them something else, which we'll get to. But you see, if the world theory is correct, millions of years between humans and dinosaurs, the dinosaurs died out, and millions of years later, humans evolved. And humans didn't know about dinosaurs until the 1800s. So there's no way humans could be know anything about dinosaurs until the 1800s. Is that what the evidence shows? Or does the evidence show, especially the farther back we go into human history, a lot of knowledge about dinosaurs that eventually became myth and became lost to history? You see, we have tons of evidence that people knew about dinosaurs back in the day. They just didn't call them dinosaurs. Which means the dinosaurs that were made on day six had to survive the flood. Which means they had to be on the ark. And they had to come off the ark with Noah and his family. Now, pre-flood world, there was no death before sin. Animals weren't eating each other. Dinosaurs weren't Jurassic Park dinosaurs. Pre-flood or post-flood, coming off the ark, now the dinosaurs are Jurassic Park types, ready to eat the tourist. Huh? Or the lawyers. Yeah, that's always good. So, how can we prove the dinosaurs were on the ark? That's what we'll get to next week. So, I will show you. I have, let's see. Don't go forward yet, Levi. Don't move. I have starting... Okay. I have, we're on slide 43, and I got 171 to go, or 171 to the end. So we got about 130. I got a lot of evidence to prove dinosaurs, man knew about dinosaurs, ancient man. Biblical man, black, not the Dark Ages, they knew about dinosaurs. Romans, the Chinese, the Egyptians, many through Asia, South America, Native American Indians, they all knew about dinosaurs. And there's tons of evidence, and it's been covered up for the most part because it doesn't fit the narrative. I'll show you all the evidence. An ancient man, after the flood, knew all about terrible lizards roaming the earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your word, because it is always true. And even though the world mocks it, the evidence tells us it's true. And even when they try to cover up the evidence, they can't do it. Your word is tried and tested. And you said your word will be for every generation. For those that want to believe, Lord, it is there for us to believe. And we don't have to believe it by blind faith, but you give us evidence. Evidence that your word is true. And your word changes us, Lord. The truth of it changes us. The truth of the gospel. The truth of Jesus' death for us. The death that we celebrate today. And Lord, we're so thankful that it didn't end with the death, but it ended with the resurrection. Jesus defeating sin, defeating death, and ascending on high. And one day, and it could be very close, Lord, one day you're going to be coming back for your church. For all those who are found in you, found in Christ. Lord, if there's one person in here who's been fooling themselves or just hasn't taken that step, but now they realize they're not in Christ. They've never been born again. They've never been serious. They've played the role. Lord, I ask you to bring the conviction only the Holy Spirit can bring upon their heart. Help them to see that they are at odds with you. And that never works out for anybody. So, Lord, I pray if there is anyone in here at odds with you, you reveal it to their heart. And Lord, you love them so much. Your grace abounds. You will forgive all. And for us, Lord, who have been forgiven, who have been born again, who are being found in Christ at this very moment, I ask you to help us be serious as your disciples, and let us go out this week ready to be salt and light, ready to help people find you. I ask you to protect those here in the body. I ask you, Lord, for those that aren't with us this morning, that you be with them and help them be salt and light wherever they may be. And I ask you as a church, Lord, that we come together to encourage one another, to support one another, not just in person, but in prayers throughout the week, in phone calls, in messages, or anything we can do to help our brothers and sisters. I ask you to bless the studies this week, the men's study and the women's study, Lord. I ask you to help us keep growing in our knowledge and understanding of you. Lord, I ask you to help us have a good week in you, and let us honor you, Lord. And if you can use us this week, Lord, use us. Help us to step out in faith and in courage. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done. We pray this in the name above every name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Go to the last slide, Levi. Team Jesus, why don't you guys go ahead and stand up. We will be done today. We will come back next Sunday, and we'll pick up where we left off. So let's break out of here. Remember, if you're going to join the treasure hunt, please sign your team up so I can print you out a new packet. Men, get ready. Don't eat all day Tuesday because we'll have lots of meat. All right? So come on out. All men are encouraged to come out and join us. But let's have a good men's meeting and get ready for the new study. Ladies, I know you guys have a challenging, good discussion coming up on Monday night. So I'll be praying for all of you guys. Let's go be the church, folks. Let's go be his team. Let's break out of here on count of three. One, two, three, break. Let's go.